This is Anderson Penn's podcast, episode 15 for Sunday, September 2nd, 2012. This is Brian.
This is Lisa.
This is the Anderson Penn's Radio Network. Welcome.
I didn't do it that time.
I was expecting it this week.
I know. Thank you.
So yesterday, we did a little pen hunting. Pen hunting in the wild, I guess.
It was wild.
People talk about this. Pen fanatics post on Facebook, blogs, when they stumble across something cool or rare. Well, we went to an outdoor flea market yesterday, partly to hunt for pens and I guess partly for entertainment value.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this particular venue has flea markets 5 or 6 times a year, and usually they're weekends that we're going to pen shows. They always have one the weekend of the Chicago show, so we've never been able to go. So I'm not sure what to call this place, to be honest. You can see it from the main highway, and it has a long line of animals standing along the road. And these are, what are they, paper mache? Are they?
I don't know what they are.
What they're made out of.
Some kind of molded fiberglass or something. But
they, has to be.
Yeah, but imagine they look like paper mache.
Yeah.
Only on a big scale.
Yeah, they have deer standing up on a lift with rifles. There's a female cow lifting her skirt, which is kind of racy, I guess. An elephant. I think there's a moose. It's all really, really weird stuff. And these are huge, huge animals, 15, 20 feet tall. You'd see these at a theme park or an amusement park. But so we go in, and inside the entire flea market, it's this disorganized maze of tables, many of which were parts of actual displays that are on the grounds of this this establishment, a few of the pieces on display were things like an old-fashioned metal carriage without the horses, of course. There was a cool greenhouse, a gazebo, glass encased.
That one was pretty, but yeah. Brian wouldn't let me bring it home. I mean, it was probably, 10 feet across, maybe more, 15?
Yeah, probably 15 feet tall, something like that.
The whole transportation issue, you know, how are we going to get it home? The flea market itself was the usual hodgepodge of, you know, glass insulators, outdated movies on VHS, really bad fake purses. My personal favorite were the crocheted Green Bay Packer throws.
Oh, come on. Go Pack.
Old Corral ware, rusty tools, and, you know, all of that. It was really hot outside, which was nice. It was a beautiful, beautiful day for it. But so many of the vendors were actually sitting in their cars behind their tables, not even, you know, in a chair in the shade, but in their cars, I guess, with the air running. And they just kind of call out to us from their car.
I had a lovely conversation with a gentleman about an 8-track stereo system while he was in his car. So yeah. I don't.
It was kind of odd. We did stumble across a few pens. So we were excited till we discovered it was an Arnold, missing the nib and the feed, a couple of assorted even lesser pens.
Lesser than Arnold?
Yeah. Those, wow. Sadly, we left there.
That's pretty sadly.
We also did unearth a bag of pens, pens, pencils, and nibs that we did bring home. Some parts pens, some for the junk box, but we did score a few Estabrook nibs, some Osmeroid nibs, and a few Estabrooks, so it wasn't too bad.
Yeah, it was this actual, I don't have the bag handy, but it was a big bag.
A
gallon bag full of stuff. And actually, I spotted it. I noticed an Estabrook cap jewel. That's why I picked it up. And sure enough, there was a couple of Estabrooks in there, but an amazing assortment of really crappy Osmeroids.
That's the technical term.
some platygnums, just, you know, there was one snorkel, or I'm sorry, not a snorkel, but a touchdown, that was really in bad shape, but at least, you know, the parts were worth, the price of admission, I guess. It was an interesting experience. Yeah, well, essentially, it was free to get in. Neither of us had been there before, so it was kind of interesting. There was one building back, I guess, part of the permanent sales location. They sell kitchen cabinets. Back part was so windows and doors. They had fenders for trucks.
Tires.
Yeah. It looked like they had bought out the clearance warehouse at the dollar store or something. We came, we saw, we bought a couple of pens, and we left kind of shaking our heads. But
it was an interesting experience. I'm glad we got to go. Sometimes flea markets are really really cool, and sometimes it's just kind of a waste of time. But it was a gorgeous day. We just walked around and saw some very interesting people and interesting things.
Well, at least now when we drive past it, we won't have to worry about wondering if we should go or not. But you never know. Next time there could be a box full of Mandarin Duofolds or something in it.
You kept looking for those.
I was looking. Every cigar box. You got to open every cigar box. So
What's in it?
Oh. Nothing.
A Beanie Baby.
So that was that. Yep. Earlier this week, I guess it was Tuesday, FP Geeks posted a blog post I wrote on Esterbrook colors. It's often a hotly debated topic in pen circles. So if you haven't seen the article, check it out. I do my best to try to demystify the various color and naming schemes, primarily from 1932 through 1948. With a couple of minor exceptions. The most commonly confused terminology revolves around Esterbrook's insistence that they use fancy names to describe their five colors other than black in the early years. So we're talking about copper, green, blue, gray, and red. Somewhere between 1934 and 1941, and probably towards the earlier end of that range, they dropped these fancy names, Morocco red and pearl gray and all that stuff, for the basic colors. So if you haven't, like I said, if you haven't been there, take a look. We've got some nice examples, and we'll probably expand on that probably in the coming week, as it looks like I will be on the FP Geeks podcast next Saturday.
Ooh.
So we're going to be talking about it then there as well.
My husband, guest host.
Number three. So.
Very cool.
We have some progress this week in the pen room.
Oh, my God. I love Carpenter Joe.
Carpenter Joe.
Yep. That's his name, with a capital C and a capital J. Major progress on the pen room this week. Ceiling and walls totally up, including places that it didn't occur to us that we should drywall, like under the stairs. Really cool. Most of the electrical has all been done. We couldn't imagine why we had to buy 3 5-gallon buckets of joint compound. But man, is he going through that really fast.
Yeah, I thought it was a little excessive, but... Apparently
not.
He's going to need more.
Yeah, he said he might need a little more. One thing I did enjoy watching was sanding the joint compound. He has a shop vac attachment to the sander, so there's virtually no mess. Love that.
Yeah.
Nothing better than a clean handyman. It was fascinating to watch when he drywalled our sunroom ceiling a couple of years ago. Fast and clean, a homeowner's dream. The drywall was all on top of the lumber for the custom bookcases, so he can finally get to that and start our fabulous custom pen storage really soon.
Yep, that's going to be nice, if for no other reason than to get the stuff out of the living room.
The lobby, and the kitchen, studio, the closet.
Oh my goodness. And we have
room.
More stuff this past week.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's cool. Probably won't be done next week, but probably by the following week, just in time for us to start packing for Dallas, it will be finished. And speaking of Dallas, 3 weeks from now, we're going to be in Dallas, Texas.
God, 3 weeks. I am packing today, starting at least.
Friday, Saturday, September 21st and 22nd. We're going to be showing up there Thursday evening. We're going to get some sleep that night, hopefully.
My favorite part.
The sleeping part? Or?
The sleeping after the driving part.
Yeah. We'll set up on Friday. It's going to be a good show, good two-day show. So, you know, we wouldn't miss it. But last year, my main prize was actually a pencil. Gold-filled stockbroker's pencils from LT and Sons, New York. So who knows what you're going to find. A lot of big dealers are going to be there, so it plans to be a pretty good show.
Always a good show. I think This is our third year.
Third year, yep.
It just keeps getting bigger and bigger, and the organizers make it a really well-run, really friendly, awesome show. They do a lot when it comes to promotion. So it'll be fun. And then right after that is the Detroit show on September 28th and 29th. Smaller regional show that had some good traffic last year, despite some bad weather. The rain was not enough to keep people from seeing some beautiful pens. And Brian, actually, I think we talked about this before, literally bought some pens out of the back of some guy's truck. So that will always be one of our favorite memories of the Detroit Pen Show.
And ink, actually.
And ink, yes. In fact, some of that's in my wall of ink.
Well, so. He couldn't. Funny thing is this guy wouldn't tell us everything that he had. So he would say, oh, well, do you buy this? And then we're like, well, yeah, what do you got? Oh, back to the truck in the rain. I've got ink. Well, how about magazines? Do you buy pen magazines? Oh, well, it's what do you got? You know, and then.
Did we buy magazines?
We didn't. We didn't buy them from them, no. Well, I mean, we had completely blown our pen budget in our purchasing budget within 15 minutes of the door opening up. So.
Oh, that's right. You just kind of ran up and said, hey, I need the pen buying money.
Yeah, give me the money.
Yeah. You just got here.
I know. And there was no time for negotiation there. I was like, this is a deal. So
yeah, it was great.
I wasn't going to spend money on magazines. So, but I'm sure somebody got a good deal there. But, speaking of, pen gatherings, I think it's been like a month since we've seen, our friends, Dave and Julie. I wonder if they're feeling okay. I might give them a call after the podcast here.
Yep.
And see what's up. Actually, I think they're supposed to come over sometime this weekend to play with some ink. But we have a special gift from the DC show that we picked up for Dave, and you know, a bunch of new ink colors for Julie.
For Julie to drool over.
Yeah. I think there's a nice purple in there too.
Yep.
Our good friend and fellow Appleton Pen Club member Mike Kirk has been busy promoting the Appleton Pen Club, so. Once we have our magnificent pen space set up, I think it's time for a grand opening, splash pen club meeting. Maybe this means, we're officially a pen club. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. And don't forget, we do have the awesome new wine cooler.
Oh,
for
that's
downstairs.
Right. That's right. We're that was the one splurge, I guess, when we picked out the 2x4s and all that stuff for the pen room, we decided we're going to get a wine cooler, with dual climate control, and so you can have
18 bottles.
18 bottles, yep. Yeah. So,
you know, 85 2x4x8s, 40 sheets of drywall, 3 5-gallon containers of joint compound, and a refrigerated wine cooler.
You bet. It's got to be something in there that's a little more fun than 2x4s.
Yeah, that's true.
We have some modern stuff to talk about this week.
Oh, we got in a bunch of cool stuff. It seemed like every day FedEx or UPS or both were dropping something off. In fact, We had to make sure that somebody was home at all times because some of these require signatures. And so we had to kind of stage running errands and such so that one of either I or Garrett, who's 18 and can sign for this, was home. So that was kind of funny. We restocked our Twisby pens, and we also have the new black ink bottles. These are brand new, really cool. If you've been considering getting one of the ink bottles, we have them all back in stock. Blue and silver blow out the fastest. And now we have the black, and this is really pretty striking.
For those who aren't familiar, we should probably clarify that the bottle itself is not black.
There's an anodized aluminum ring.
Yeah. Like this is my, this ring here is colored. So the black one is black. So I don't know why they didn't do it before, but is a pretty nice looking bottle.
Yeah. Nice heavy quality glass. Really nice. We also got our pilot order in this week, and we are happy to get these, the beautiful, let's see if I can pronounce this, Hiroshizuku inks. I did that.
Very good.
Okay, right? I can't pronounce it.
You're going to pronounce the rest of them?
Hiroshizuku. I can do this five times fast. The bottle is gorgeous. The colors are gorgeous. Even the packaging is really beautiful. And the names are really fun. Pilot Prera in as well. In every color of the rainbow, or at least those that Pilot makes, there's what, seven or eight colors?
Seven. I believe there's seven colors, yep.
Yep.
Don't ask me which
blue and black Namiki ink as well. I'm in love with the Namiki blue. It's just so bright and so vibrant, and the black is just inky black. It's beautiful.
Yeah, and that's actually a very good value for the amount of ink that you get.
The Namiki?
Yes. Yep. If you look on our website, I have a little page called Ink Volume Comparison, and I compare essentially the price versus the volume in milliliters and ounces. And Namiki is right up there in the top with the lowest cost per milliliter. Noodlers is right up at the top, but I question their measuring.
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit, but...
And the Namiki bottle is just gorgeous.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's a cool shape.
I don't know how to describe it. It makes me, I don't know, looks like a hamburger or something. It's round and...
Really?
Yeah, hamburger. I don't know.
I think it looks like an alien ship.
I think it's time for lunch. That's what I'm thinking.
What else do we have that's new? The long-awaited Rodiorama Webby Notebooks arrived. In fact... We've been waiting on these for so long, we forgot we ordered them. and they just kind of showed up.
It was March, wasn't it?
I think it was, yeah. Available in 15 really, really pretty colors, in lined and unlined format. These are the small web notebooks. Look for them on the site really soon. They do come in limited quantities.
Yeah.
So look for those. And lastly, ink samples. We've been doing this for a while. They've been very popular, and they're available for all of the inks. If we don't have something listed, just send us an email and ask. We haven't done much to promote them. They don't seem to need a whole lot of that.
No.
They've just really done very well. In fact, during the podcast, we just got another order. So,
yeah, if you're thinking about waffling between one color or next, this is an easy way to try a couple different inks out for minimal expense.
Yeah, and you get 2.5 milliliters, which is more than enough to fill most pens, probably twice.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good deal.
Also this week, inspired by our recent contest, I posted a blog post with a review of my own personal Schaefer 100 fountain pen. Which I carried with me for several weeks as my primary pen to work. Even weeks after I first inked it up, it's really still a top-notch writing pen, and I'm quite impressed. Amazing how this inexpensive writer performs compared to others, even in its own price range. So that's up on the blog if you haven't seen it. Nice pen. And I'm also working on a review this week of the new Conklin Endura pens. It's this one here. Nice. This is the taupe, red and taupe model.
It's a pretty one.
They're really nice pens. I've had a couple pens in my pocket this week, and the other one, I'm not going to mention what it is. I'll be doing a review on that one as well, but nice color match section on there. This has been really difficult to put down all week when I had to write something down. I always kind of reached over, I looked down for a second, and I'm like, I'll try the Conklin. Nice pen, beautiful, beautiful nib. I don't know if you can see it. It's two-tone. It's got the little Conklin logo in the middle. It's got a little gold plating on there. But really nice pen. So look forward to that review coming up this next week.
Awesome. And speaking of contests, this is like Lisa's rant for a second. Brian had this crazy brainstorm about entries. Now, we walk down to our post office pretty much nightly to pick up packages and contest entries, and we have some really productive work discussions along the way. It's just Brian and I, no distractions, no housework, no email, no kid drama, no nothing. And we just take our time, and it's just kind of us time and time to, discuss whatever. Well, this time he totally blew me away with a crazy idea.
I really think this could be fun. I really do.
I think it's weird.
Okay, so we get all sorts of things people send us for the contest. In fact, this last week, we got a Christmas card.
That was cute.
That was fun. We got a blotter last for the Schaefer giveaway. But maybe I was thinking, it'd be cool to have as one of the rules for the upcoming contest, you cannot send your entry on a letter, a postcard, or a note card.
Now, this doesn't apply yet. So this does not apply. This was just one of the things we were brainstorming about upcoming contests down the road. So don't panic.
Yeah.
And don't do this.
So my idea was force people to be creative. Put it on something else. The post office will take just about anything as long as it's got the right amount of postage on it. So it doesn't have to be a letter. It could be the side of a box. I don't know. The blotter was quite creative. It could be anything. I think it would be interesting to see what people would come up with.
My concern is that since the post office will technically take almost anything, we'd get like an entry on a pumpkin.
That would be cool.
Or an old shoe or something weird like that. And we keep them for the entire contest length. So who wants to keep a slowly decomposing pumpkin or somebody's smelly shoe?
Well, the pumpkin we put on the front porch. I mean, it's going to be Halloween in a month, next month.
I think it's crazy. I mean, then we're just going to have this huge bag full of like Goodwill junk. I mean, send it on a vase, send it on a...
A football?
A football?
Yeah.
What are we going to do with a football?
We're going to toss it around in the backyard, back 40. I don't know. Wouldn't that be fun?
So then the winner is whoever's item throws the farthest?
Well,
I mean, how does that work?
It would be... I don't know.
And how would you write legibly on there? I mean, all we'd get is like a name. We wouldn't be able to get, dear Brian and Lisa, here's my entry. Cross your fingers for me. I mean, we get some cute little notes. I can just picture somebody sending like a smelly old shoe. I don't know.
Well, I mean, that's what Sharpies are for. I mean, come on. These things write on anything.
All right. But so anyway,
I don't know. We're thinking about it. And if I can convince her to do it, we might, that might be next month. I don't know. We'll see.
All right. One of the rules might have to be it can't decompose.
It can't decompose.
Like within 30 days.
I don't know if the post office would take a pumpkin.
I read somewhere in like a business law class, obviously like 30 years ago, that I think they're supposed to take anything as long as everything is legible and it has the proper postage. But I'm sure that your individual post office may nix a pumpkin, which is good for me.
But like a piece of driftwood or something.
Oh, my God.
Soccer ball? I don't know.
No more 2x4s, please. We have enough.
All right. Anyway, speaking of giveaways, let's not forget the back-to-school giveaway. Since on Tuesday, it is officially back to school here in Appleton.
Yay.
So until October 6th, we will accept letters and postcards for the October 7th podcast drawing. We're going to be in Detroit the Sunday prior, so we're going to have to push it off until after the Penn Show podcast review, which will happen earlier that week. So on that day, October 7th, the winner will be offered his or her choice of the Monteverde Artista Crystal. This lovely, lovely pen here.
These are cool. I really like these.
I haven't decided which one I'm going to keep yet. It's a really nice weighted pen. It's got everything about it is nice. I like it.
That one's the clear? I can't see it.
This is the clear, yes.
All right, you're flipping it around there. So the clear. Sorry. They also, we'll get to colors in a minute.
Okay.
But.
Winner gets their choice of the Artista Crystal. Two packages of Pelican International cartridges to go along with it. This does also, by the way, have a piston converter in it. But you're going to get your choice of two packages of Pelican carts, and we're going to throw in one of our own Proper Pads notebooks as well.
Pen color choices are clear, which Brian was showing, turquoise, which is really cool, pink, mm-hmm. which is a pretty pink, and lime green. It's kind of a neon green. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, they're all real good colors.
Yeah.
I like them.
Very cool colors. Nibs are all medium, and the winner will also choose from five different colors of Pelican Short International cartridges, which are Brilliant Black, Royal Blue, Brilliant Red, Turquoise, and Violet. We'll toss in one of our newly designed notebooks, and you're all set.
Yep. Pen, paper, and ink all to the winner.
Send your entry in the form of a postcard or a letter or a note card. No emails, texts, or other electronic entries allowed.
Or pumpkins.
Limit one per person, please. You know who you are. Please do include your email address on your entry so that we can contact you if you're the winner. And mail them to us at Anderson Pens Back to School Giveaway, P.O. Box 732, Appleton, Wisconsin, 54912.
The winner will be drawn at random during the podcast. Feel free to be creative on your entry, although that is not required.
No, we do enjoy it. We have a good time.
Anything else for this week?
I think that's about it.
That's it. Okay. Comments, suggestions for topics, whether or not you think we should use pumpkins for the next giveaway. Use your pens. Write to us at Anderson Pens, P.O. Box 732, Appleton, Wisconsin, 54912. And before I go on further, I should also mention there was a question last week. International, yes, absolutely.
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 Yep. So, catch us online.
Email brian@andersonpens.net.
Or lisa@andersonpens.net.
You can find us on Twitter, twitter.com/AndersonPens.
We are on Facebook. It's facebook.com/AndersonPens.
The web, of course, AndersonPens.net.
We also have a blog, AndersonPens.net/blog.
Join our mailing list for advance notice of upcoming events or pre-orders. Thanks for listening to our podcast. See you next week.